Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Clark welcoming you to another issue of Power Tips, your monthly dose of energy and power. The message given in this issue can help set you up for the rest of your life. Now, don't let the simplicity of the information contained in this tape deceive you into thinking it can't make a tremendous impact in all areas of your life, because it can. And not only can it, but for those of you who take these basic principles to heart, will notice a positive impact in as many areas in your life as you choose. Now, Jerry, you may be asking, why do an entire tape on something as basic as asking? Well, that's a good question. Let me give you two answers. Number one, as basic as it seems, I believe that the art of asking is one of the most powerful tools you have in creating a life of wealth, health, and fulfillment. Yes, you heard me right. I did say the art of asking. You see, there is a method of asking that increases the results of you getting what you truly want by more than 300%. We will discuss these methods later in this tape. Number two, I believe that asking is the fabric of life. What do I mean by this? Well, think about it for a moment. When you go to a clothing store, you have the option of buying clothes that come in different fabrics, don't you? You can get polyester, cotton, rayon, velvet, leather, silk, and so on. Each of these fabrics will give you a different look and feel, won't they? Of course. There is a big difference between wearing polyester and wearing silk. Most of you would agree that silk looks and feels better. Well, if silk looks and feels better, why don't most people wear it? That's right, because it costs more. Okay, here's the point. The reasons why some people spend their entire lives wearing polyester is because they ask polyester questions. And the reason why some people spend their entire lives wearing silk is because they ask silk questions. And the people who go from wearing polyester to silk are the people who, at some point in their lives, went from asking polyester questions to asking silk questions. Here's the subtlety. It costs you more money to wear silk clothing than it does to wear polyester clothing. But it does not cost you more money to ask silk questions as it does to ask polyester questions. Are you still with me? Okay, think about the power in this. This means that the quality of your life is not necessarily in direct proportion to the quality of your bank account, but instead, the quality of your life is in direct proportion to the quality of the questions you ask. Questions you ask yourself and others. Learning the art of asking will give you a quality of life that most deem as magical, unbelievable, or lucky. Let me just say right now that if you are like me, you probably spent most of your life thinking that the phrase from the Bible that says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, meant that you had to ask someone else, or that you had to seek someone else, or surely someone else had to open a door if you're knocking. Is that true? Well, once I realized that I could ask internally, seek internally, and knock internally, and actually get answers, my entire life changed for the better, and so can yours. Make no mistake about it. The art of asking questions, both to yourself and to others, is one of the most powerful tools you have to create the life you desire. I remember reading Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill for about the seventh time before a statement seemingly jumped out and took over my complete conscious awareness. It was so powerful, and yet I didn't even remember reading it during my past readings. It was as if someone snuck in my library, took the book off my shelf, added this paragraph, and placed it back on my bookshelf. I found it in chapter 2, and it goes like this. I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty score. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you have set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I have worked for a menial's hire only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid. Powerful. And remember, It doesn't cost you any more to wear silk than it does to wear polyester when you truly understand that it doesn't cost you any more to ask silk questions than it does to ask polyester questions. I hope the point is being made when I make reference to silk and polyester. Of course, this is nothing more than an analogy, a way of having you connect physically with what is being said. I mean, if you were anything like me, you wore a lot of polyester growing up. As a matter of fact, I don't think I even knew what silk was until my junior or senior year in high school when I started getting a little bit more intimate with girls. Okay, let's not go there. Okay. Well, anyway, here's the point. When we talk in terms of polyester and silk, we're simply talking about quality. You can live a higher quality of life by learning to ask higher quality questions. You see, questions direct your thoughts, and directed thoughts is what we call focus. Your focus directs your feelings, and your feelings direct your actions. Your actions direct your results, and your results direct your destiny. This means that you can design and create your destiny by designing and directing your questions. I believe that one of the biggest reasons people fail is because they ask themselves disempowering questions, questions that limit their effectiveness and their ability to become successful. You know, questions like this. Why come I'm so broke? Why do I feel so lonely? Why can't I ever seem to lose weight? Why am I always so unhappy? Why doesn't anyone want to join my opportunity? Why haven't I been able to sell any of my company's product? Why haven't I received any support from my friends and family? Why can't people just see how incredible this thing really is? I'm sure you know of at least one person who constantly asks themselves these type of questions, don't you? Well, understand this. You will receive the answers to any question that you ask because you have over 50 trillion cells who are listening to you and waiting to respond to your commands. Just imagine that deep inside the reservoirs of your being, you have a genie residing there waiting to respond to your commands. Except with this genie, you are not limited to 3 wishes or questions. You can ask an unlimited amount of questions, and the genie will gladly give you the answers to any question that you ask. If you ask the genie, "Why come I'm so broke?" then the genie has to give you the answer to that question. So you may get the following response. Because you have always been broke. Your family and friends are broke. Basically, you are unworthy of anything else but broke. That's why you're broke. Any other questions, Master? Well, if you ask the genie, "Why come I'm so overweight and unhealthy?" the genie may respond, "Because you eat all that greasy stuff 3 times per day. You know, like pork, bacon, bologna sandwiches, and hamburgers. Simply put, you are overweight and unhealthy because you are undisciplined and you eat like a pig." If you ask the genie, "Why don't I help people joining my opportunity and buying my products?" the genie may respond, "Because you've been told 4,250 times not to talk to strangers and 7,780 times not to make money from your friends. Simply put, you don't have people joining your business opportunity and buying your products because you have turned into a spineless, wimpy coward without even knowing it." You see, instead of these questions, you could ask the genie something like, "How could I be relieved of these financial challenges, have abundance in my life, and enjoy the process?" Or, "How could I release these unwanted pounds and inches and be excited about doing it?" Or, "How can I increase the number of people who join my opportunity and buy my products and have fun making it happen?" Asking a genie these questions will get you answers that are more empowering. What I mean by empowering is something that can help you get closer to what you really want. You see, by asking these types of questions, you will soon discover what you need in order to make it happen, and your life will take on a whole new meaning. But don't get caught up in what I call the "it hen" trap. In other words, the "I don't have it now" trap. What I'm saying by this is don't ask now and 2 minutes later get upset because you don't have the answer yet. Remember, we talked about it earlier. There is an art to asking that will increase your effectiveness by up to 300% and in many cases even more. But before we get into the specifics of how to do that, let me ask you something to think about. Why don't we ask these types of empowering questions in the first place? Well, going back to the polyester concept, it's because at least 97% of us have been programmed since birth with what I call polyester thinking. We were told all the things we couldn't do and made to feel as if we were worthless. You know, stuff like this. "Leave me alone. Can't you see I'm doing something important? Why are you asking me for money again? Don't you know that money doesn't grow on trees? So stop asking me for it. Don't speak unless you are spoken to. If I wanted your opinion, I will give it to you. Just shut up and do what you're told. Together, I'm sure we can add to this list until we have an entire encyclopedia. You see, this type of programming, along with the programming we get from school, the media, the government, and even some of our churches, begin to make us feel unworthy and begin to develop polyester thinking patterns within us. And remember from your high school or college psychology course what Sir Isaac Newton said in one of his laws of motion. A body in motion will continue to be in motion until interrupted by an outside force. This means that someone who has polyester thinking patterns will continue to have polyester thinking patterns until interrupted by an outside force. You see, this is why the poor gets poorer and the rich get richer. Well, since you're listening to this tape, I'm sure that you have already began to interrupt any polyester thinking patterns that you may have had and are working on your silk thinking patterns. And you deserve a big congratulations. Okay, let's continue. I remember in 1989 or 1990, right around there, being on stage with personal empowerment wizard Tony Robbins in front of over 4,000 people. Even though I was supposed to be on stage with Tony, helping to get the audience pumped and charged, as if he needed help, I couldn't help being mesmerized myself by Tony Robbins' charisma and power that permeated throughout the auditorium of thousands of excited and motivated people. It went through my mind right then and there. What made the difference between this young man who was kicked out of his house on Christmas Eve when he was 17 years of age? He slept in his Volkswagen while promoting Jim Rohn seminars. Then later, he lived in a 400-square-foot bachelor apartment in Venice, California, and had to do his dishes in a bathtub because he didn't have a kitchen. He gained 38 pounds in 1 month and watched soap operas daily while dodging his creditors. Within 1 year, Tony's entire situation changed. He lost the 38 pounds he had gained. He gotten his income to exceed $1 million per year. Now, I know you can't live off that, but isn't it a good start? He moved in a 10,000-square-foot castle in Del Mar, California. He found the woman of his dreams, who is now his wife, Becky. And he was inspiring thousands of people around the globe. And not just any people. I'm talking about heads of states, actors and actresses, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, professional sport teams, as well as people from all walks of life. What made the difference, I asked myself. There's that word again, ask. Well, at some point during that 3-day seminar that is currently called Unlimited Power, the Firewalk Experience, it was originally called the Mind Revolution, I remember Tony saying the statement that I mentioned to you earlier. The quality of your life is determined by the quality of the questions you ask yourself and others. Tony Robbins is a prime example of someone who went from asking polyester questions to silk questions. And need I say, he is wearing a lot of silk today, if you know what I mean. Somerset Maugham once said, "It's a funny thing about life. If you refuse to accept anything but the best, you very often get it." In other words, part of the process of going from polyester thinking patterns to silk thinking patterns is simply to raise your standards. By the way, that's another thing that Tony teaches at his seminars. You see, you must make a decision that you won't put up with polyester thinking patterns anymore. You must decide to develop new thinking patterns, silk thinking patterns, that is. Okay, let me go ahead and give you 6 surefire methods for eliminating polyester thinking patterns and creating silk thinking patterns. Are you ready? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go on a 30-day mental fast. That's right, you heard me right. Go on a 30-day mental fast. We constantly hear people talking about going on a fast, don't we? I mean, why do they do that? Well, besides religious reasons, most people do it to help cleanse out their digestive system and the other organs inside of them. They do it in order to release the toxins from their bodies. They do it in order to create a better environment for healthy cells. And as you know, healthier cells will, of course, help them feel better, look better, and get more juice from life. Well, since you are listening to me right now, I'm sure you understand that it's not only important that you have a healthy environment physically, but also that you have a healthy environment mentally. A healthy mental environment will be more conducive for empowering questions to flow from your mind. Now, this 30-day mental fast is one solution to helping you or anyone who wants to be helped decrease the toxins in their mind. In other words, the polyester thinking patterns. You see, polyester thinking patterns are similar to free radicals. They wander around in your brain looking for empowering or silk thinking patterns to destroy. And by now, most of people's minds are like toxic wastelands. The toxicity level is so high that it's destructive. They are blinded from opportunity, and they are negative towards creating better health, wealth, and fulfillment in their lives. You probably have come across one or two of them in your life, haven't you? Well, once the toxicity level is decreased, you will notice that you have created a whole new world for yourself and your loved ones. You will never want to return to the old world. In fact, you will wonder how you ever stayed that long in the first place. Okay, are you ready for the formula? I'm sure you are, but I tell you what, let's take a breather. Let's get prepared for this formula. I want you to make sure you get your pens and papers and so forth so you can take notes when I give you this formula, because I know you're going to want to commit yourself to it. So we're going to take a 30-second mental break, and then we will return. Okay, I hope you enjoyed that mental break. Now, are you ready for the formula? The formula that we have discussed that will help decrease the toxic level inside your brain. In other words, helping you to eliminate the polyester thinking patterns. Okay, here it is. It's all geared around taking out all of the negative input out of your life, okay? We're gonna take out the negative input out of your life. Okay, number one is this. Read at least 15 minutes from an empowering and uplifting book. Now, the key words are empowering and uplifting. The Madonna and Dennis Rodman books don't count, as well as most of the novels that are out there. Did you know that research has found that 58% of high school graduates never read another book from cover to cover the rest of their adult life? And approximately 78% of the population have not been in a bookstore in the last 5 years, and that a full 97% of our population in the United States do not have a library card? I mean, how much easier can it get than free? The average child spends less than 1% of their free time reading and about 54% of their free time in front of the television, what I call the electronic income reducer. They're either watching it or playing video games. Speaking of TV, that's the next point. Turn it off. That's right. For those of you who are actually taking notes, point number two is to unplug your TV. Now, wait a second. Before you get too excited, let me make a quick point. If your company offers a satellite program that has training and company information on it, of course you can watch it. Just stay away from the sitcoms, the movie channels, and especially the news. Please stay away from the news. I had someone call me the other night, around midnight or so, to tell me that someone had just died in an automobile crash. Now, you know, at midnight, that's not something I wanted to hear. At that time, I'm working on conditioning my mind for a peaceful night of rest. Now, of course, I hung up and prayed for the family and gave blessings and so forth, but it just wasn't the time for me to hear that. Okay, some of you may be thinking, but what if I miss something that's important, Jerry? I mean, what if I don't have the TV on and there's something that's critical that comes on and I miss it? Well, trust me, if something really important happens, you don't have to watch the news to find out about it. Someone will call and let you know soon enough. Okay, let's move on to the next point. Number three, listen to an empowering tape, one that educates and inspires you. This means turn off the radio when you're driving in your vehicle. Turn your automobile into a moving university. Even if you have to listen to the same tape over and over again, because I have some people say to me, Jerry, you know, I don't have 30 tapes. If you're saying I have to listen to a tape every single day, what am I going to do? I say, well, how many tapes do you have? Well, I got about 5 or 6 tapes. I say, well, one problem is you need to work on your library, of course. All you need to do is listen to those 5 tapes or those 6 tapes or whatever you have. Just listen to them over and over and over again until the month is over with. It's better to listen to the same tape even 30 days in a row than to turn on the radio and listen to the stuff that's on that. Okay, point number four, don't read the newspaper. The newspaper publishers understand that negativity sells, so that tends to be the first thing you see on the cover and woven throughout the newspapers. Stay away from this. Okay, here's number five. Limit or disassociate from negative people. I remember Les Brown saying that there are toxic relationships and there are nourishing relationships. The toxic relationships are poisonous and can drain you of every bit of energy you have. And trust me, if you want to be massively successful in business, you are going to need plenty of energy. Now, point number six, take time for reflection. At least 15 to 30 minutes per day, take a few moments to just be alone without other disturbances or without any distractions around. Even if you have to go in your closet or take a nice hot bath, meditate, seek wisdom, courage, forgiveness, and forgive others. Pray, give thanks and gratitude for already having accomplished that which you want. Call it your quiet time or your spiritual time or whatever you want. The point is to focus on a positive because what you focus on will expand. Another thing I would suggest you do during your reflection time is ask yourself what I call peak performance questions. For your convenience, I have put together five questions for you to ask yourself as you awake. We'll call these the morning peak performance questions. And five questions to ask yourself just before you go to sleep. We'll call these the evening peak performance questions. Okay, let's go over the morning peak performance questions. Number one, what am I positive about in my life right now? Ask yourself that. What am I positive about in my life right now? Now, what if your brain immediately says, nothing? Well, ask yourself this. What could I be positive about right now in my life? In other words, you want to just go ahead and agree with your brain? It's okay for me not to know. But if I did know, what would it be? That's very important. And after you ask yourself that, after you get the answer to that, then I want you to ask yourself, how does that make you feel? I want you to think about that. How does that make you feel? In other words, I want you to fully associate with the feelings that you're getting from asking yourself that question. So that's the first question. What am I positive about in my life right now? The second question is this. What am I pumped up about in my life right now? That's right. What am I pumped up about in my life right now? And how does that make you feel? All of you should have something that you're pumped and excited about. There should be a reason for you getting up. You should look forward to something and just be so enthusiastic about it. And I want you to associate once again with that feeling that you get from whatever that answer is, because those emotions, those are the things that's going to help drive you towards where you want to go. So answer that question. That'll be a very powerful one. Number two, what am I pumped up about in my life right now? The third question is this. What am I purposely pursuing in my life right now? And how does it make me feel to know that it's already mine? In other words, you should be focused on something that you want. And you should keep that right in front of you. You should be moving towards that at all times. And I want you to associate with the feeling as if you already have accomplished that. How would you feel? Once again, what we're doing here is we're just bringing in some powerful juice to circulate through your body. You're going to get things that are happening inside your body. It's going to be powerful. It's going to make you have a compelling and a powerful day. So make sure you go through these morning peak performance questions. Now, that was number three. What am I purposely pursuing in my life right now? Let's go to number four. Who or what do I give praise for having in my life right now? In other words, if there's a special person in your life right now, I want you to give praise. In other words, I want you to give thanks. I want you to be grateful for having that person in your life or for having whatever it is in your life. Give praise for having something in your life. There's something you can find. Once again, if your brain says, there's nothing that I'm excited about having in my life right now, then I'm telling you, you're most definitely not looking hard enough. You woke up, didn't you? You should definitely be thankful and give praise about that. So that's the fourth one. Who or what do I give praise for having in my life right now? Now let's go on to point number five. What am I persistent about being, doing, and having in my life right now? Powerful. In other words, what are you committed to? And also, how does that make you feel? You got to have commitment if you're going to achieve anything of significance. Whatever you commit yourself to, providence will move to. In other words, things will start to happen to you that would have otherwise never occurred. So what I'm saying to you is make sure you get yourself committed, because you're going to start to have things happen to you. Things are going to be drawn to you. People are going to start coming to you. The resources are going to be attracted to you that otherwise you would have never gotten if you're not committed to something. So make sure you're persistently moving towards something. You're persistent about being something, okay? You're persistent about doing something. You're persistent about having something in your life right now and fully associate with those feelings. Okay, those were the morning questions. Now, why are these questions so powerful? Because questions, once again, they direct focus, and what we focus on will expand. This brings up another point. ask for what you want and not for what you don't want. That's going to be very important as you're thinking about these questions and as you're thinking about asking this whole concept that we're talking about. Okay, let's move on to the evening peak performance questions. So now it's evening time. Basically, it's nighttime. You're probably getting ready to go to sleep. Most people typically go to sleep, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, whatever time you decide to go to sleep. I know we're all on different time clocks, so to speak. Myself, for example, I usually don't get to sleep till about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So that's when I would ask these evening questions, right during that time. Then I wake up about 8, 9, right around there, and I would ask my morning questions then. So however your time clock is, just remember, when you're awakening, that's when you ask your morning questions. When you're retiring at night, you're going to go to sleep, that's when you ask your evening questions. Now, here's the first one. Evening question number one. There's 5 of these also, just like there were 5 morning questions. Number one, what did I perform that gave value in another person's life today? Good question. Ask yourself this. What did I perform that gave value in another person's life today? And how does that make you feel? You see, I believe that we're all here to make a contribution. We're here to give service and value to others. And the more we do this, the more successful that we're going to be. So that's the first question. What did I perform that gave value in another person's life today? Let's move to question number two. What power philosophy did I promote today? And how does that make you feel? So you see, your philosophies are what shape your thoughts. And remember, the questions you ask direct your thoughts, which ultimately will direct your destiny. I've written a book called 52 Power Philosophies to Live By. This gives you a philosophy to focus on each week if you choose to adapt it in your consciousness. And within 1 year, you will have developed 52 power philosophies that will add great value to your life. Of course, you can develop your own philosophies as well. So that's the second peak performance question for the evening. What power philosophy did I promote today? Let's go to question number three. What dream did I prime today? And how does that make me feel? Always remember that the first thing is always the dream. You always got to have that dream first, and then you go through the struggle, and then you get the prize. You see, most people, they want to have the dream, and then they want to go straight to the prize. No, it's not going to work like that. You know it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some adjustments on your part, because remember, there will most likely be some polyester thinking patterns that you have to get rid of that may be holding you back from achieving the greatness that you definitely have inside of you. So make sure that every day and every way you have a dream that you are priming. Priming simply means working on turning into reality. So that's the third question. What dream did I prime today? If you can't answer, what dream did I prime today? Then you better get yourself a dream real quickly, because you're either building your dreams or you're building someone else's dream. It's just like the story I once heard. This young man, he was in real estate. His broker came to him, said, "Young man, come on over here. I need to talk to you." The young man came. His name was Jack. He said, "Jack, take a look at this magazine." He pulled out a copy of the Robb Report, which had fancy mansions in it and automobiles and jewelry and vacation sites and so forth. He turned the page and he says, "Young man, do you see this beautiful home overlooking the ocean?" The young man said, "Yes, sir, I definitely see that." He says, "You see the 7-car garage with automobiles in each garage?" He said, "Yes, sir, I see that. You see the Porsche? You see the Lamborghini? You see the Rolls Royce? You see the Ferrari? Do you see the limousine? I mean, do you see these vehicles lined up in this garage here?" And he says, "Yes, sir, I sure do. You see the helicopter landing pad over there to the side with that helicopter? Yes, I see that." He said, "Well, Jack, let me tell you this." He said, "If you keep working hard like you're working, if you keep going out there knocking on those doors, if you keep talking to those people, if you keep being committed and loyal and industrious to what you're doing here with my company, if you keep doing that, Jack, do you realize that one day each and every last one of these things will be mine?" The point is, you're either building your dream or you're building someone else's dream. Let's go to the fourth question. What payment did I receive today? And how does that make you feel, okay? So think about that. Ask yourself, what payment did I receive today, and how does that make me feel? You see, it doesn't have to be a financial payment. It could be an emotional payment. It could be a physical payment. It could be a mental or a personal or a spiritual payment. It could be something as simple as learning something new. So ask yourself, what payment did I receive today? That's the fourth question. Let's go to the fifth question here for your evening question. What prayer will I give before I retire tonight? I repeat that. What prayer will I give before I retire tonight? Now, don't sit here and think I'm trying to get religious on you or anything. That's not the point. All I'm saying is that all a prayer is just you asking for what you want. That's what it is. It's like an affirmation, really. And if you learn how to do it effectively, you'll be surprised the type of results you get. Well, anyway, after your brain comes up with that answer, just go ahead and proceed to give your prayer for tonight. Just proceed to do that. If you're really an affirmation or something, go for it. Do it. Whatever. Flips your switch. Just go ahead and do that. Okay, by committing to these evening peak performance questions, it will ensure that you're going to get a peaceful, nice rest. And by committing to both the morning and evening peak performance questions, will definitely help you eliminate any residual of polyester thinking patterns that you may have. And remember, at this point, you don't have to commit yourself to asking yourself these questions forever, just for 30 days. It's part of the 30-day mental fast that we've just outlined for you. After 30 days, you can go back to waking up and going to bed however you are accustomed to. Does that sound fair enough? Okay, but what if after 30 days of committing to this mental fast, you notice that you are more happy? You notice that there's more joy in your life? You notice that you're more peaceful? You notice you're more productive, more passionate, and more prosperous? How would that make you feel? Okay. Now let's turn our attention to how to ask others for what you want and how to increase your chances of getting it by 300% or more. I remember a few years back flying over to Africa to spend about a month there. While at one of the airports, I think it was either Paris or Italy, I picked up a book called Ask for the Moon and Get It. It was written by a man named Percy Ross. It was the first book and one of the only books I've ever come across since that time that dedicated itself entirely to the art of asking. Another source of the art of asking was written by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen, and it's a book called The Aladdin Factor. They basically cover the same points and concepts that are found in Percy's book, but they add their own unique twists that make the book easy to read and entertaining as well as educational. I recommend each of you listening to pick up a copy of both of those books for your continued education on this subject of asking. And another reference I want to make is in chapter 8 of Tony Robbins' book called Awaken the Giant Within. He talks about how questions are the answer. In fact, in that book, he has formulated his own morning and evening questions, which gave me the idea of formulating mine. Okay, let's move on. But, you know, I really want to acknowledge these individuals because they have made an impact with me on how I view questions. I now understand how powerful they are in shaping our destinies. Okay, at this point, I want to give you a few pointers that will help you increase your effectiveness when asking others. Point number one, ask with clarity. In other words, the more specific you are about what you want, the better. This is probably the main reason why people don't get what they ask for. They are not specific about what they want. This reminds me of a story that I heard from Jack Canfield. I was listening to one of his tapes, and in that tape, he mentioned about this man who had lost his job, had lost his family, had lost his vehicle, lost his house, pretty much lost all the physical possessions and the things that really meant a lot for him, even lost hope for living, and decided to commit suicide. So he went up to the top of this pier. He was going to jump off this pier. It's about 100 feet high. And he was going to just jump in the ocean and drown. So as he got up to the top of the pier, he looked down and he noticed there's this little shiny object. I mean, it's just, he got fixated on it. He didn't know exactly what it was, but he got so fixated on it that he had to know what it was. So he climbed down those stairs there and got all the way into the water, picked up that bottle, and he noticed there was a cork on it. Released the cork, and all of a sudden this genie appeared. This genie said, "Hello, master. I am your genie. I am going to grant you any wish that you desire, anything at all. Do you know what you would like?" And the man thought, "Phew, yeah, I was in the automobile business. Instead of me working for an automobile company, I would like to own one. So I tell you what, I would like to wake up in the morning and I would like to be the proud owner of a foreign automobile dealership in a large metropolitan area." And the genie said, "Huh, no problem." Snapped his fingers, and all of a sudden, the man wakes up in the morning, the proud owner of a Chrysler dealership in Tokyo, Japan. The man said, "Maybe I should have been more specific." And that's the point. You got to be specific. That's the reason why most people don't get what they want, because they're not specific enough when they ask. Okay, here's point number two. Ask intelligently. Now, what does this mean? It means that if you're going to ask someone, at least ask someone who has the ability to give you what you're asking for. I mean, too many people are wasting their time asking people who would probably like to help, but they just don't have the ability. Think about it for a second. If you want to borrow $1 million, you're not going to go to the person on the corner who has a sign that says, "We'll work for food," would you? I mean, that might not be the most intelligent thing to do. Another thing you can do to help you ask more intelligently would be to use common courtesy in your requests. In other words, make sure you say please and thank you and these type of things. You know, do some of the things that Dale Carnegie talks about in his book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. He talked about the importance of making the other person feel important. I mean, make sure it's not flattery, though, when you're doing these things. In other words, be genuine and be sincere. These are just a few points that will help you in the area of asking intelligently. Now, let's move on to the third point. And here it is. Point number three, ask with salt. I know some of you are saying, oh my goodness, Jerry has lost it. What do you mean, ask with salt? Well, you've heard of the expression that you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. I don't believe in forcing a horse's head in the water. However, I do believe that you can salt the horse's oats before you lead it to the water so that it will want to drink. I believe that this holds true with people as well. There are things you can do in advance that will make a person want to give you what you want. For example, you can give them something in advance. It doesn't have to be anything big. You don't have to go out and buy some big gift or anything. It could be something as simple as a smile or a compliment or information that's pertinent to that person's business situation or their personal situation. Or it could be a small gift, something like an audio cassette or a book or a sample of your product, a card. I mean, something like that. See, the reason why this is so powerful is because by salting your requests, in other words, giving value or incentive in advance, you are tapping into the law of reciprocity. Now, we're not going to get into a long discussion of the law of reciprocity here, but understand this. When someone gives you something, you invariably feel a psychic debt or an obligation to repay them. I mean, think about it. Whenever you go out to dinner or something and someone says, you know, I'm buying, you say, no, no, I'll buy. And you say, no, I'm buying. No, no, I'll buy. And then the other person invariably says, okay, okay, you can go ahead and buy, but next time I'm buying for sure. See, the law of reciprocity has kicked in there. And you know, several religious organizations, they really use this principle very well. Let me give you a personal example. I remember one day I was about 18 years old and got this knock on the door. And I was like, okay, let's see who this is. I went out, opened the door, someone I didn't even know, and they had these magazines in their hand, and they said, hey, we would like to give you this free gift. It's a magazine. And they gave me this magazine. I looked at it, and I was like, wow, thanks, that's great. And I was getting ready to just turn around and go into my house, and I noticed the person was still just staring at me, just standing there, staring at me. I'm thinking, whoa. And I just felt this urge. Something just hit me like a brick or something across the head that said, give this person something back. So I said, hey, hold on 1 second. And I went and I grabbed the dollar and I went and I gave this person a dollar. And then the person didn't stand there no more. They turned around and left. That was pretty interesting. But what I'm saying is that it's a very powerful concept, and those type of organizations, they know how to use that concept and they use it very well. So what I want you to do is think about what will mean something to the person you're asking, whether it's tangible or intangible, and go ahead and proceed to give it to them. By the way, you can use this principle even when you don't need or want something. In other words, it's not just because you want to ask for something at that given time. You can do this in advance because, remember, they will owe you a psychic debt. Now, of course, this should not be the reason why you are giving to the other person, or else it's going to lose its effectiveness. You know the saying, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure and running over. So the main point I want to emphasize there is don't just think get. Start thinking of more ways that you can give. Okay, point number four is this. Ask with posture. In other words, you must have a belief and expectancy that you are eventually going to get what you're asking for. The point is this. You get what you expect and sincerely believe, not necessarily what you want. Even though you may not be sure who or where it will ultimately come from, you will want to make sure that you are holding a high degree of expectancy in your mind. This will permeate out to the other person that you're asking. It will permeate this energy, you know, the vibration. They will pick up and they will notice how serious you are about what you're asking for. And I'm telling you, eventually, even if it's not that person specifically, eventually that person that's willing to help you out is going to come your way. It will happen. See, people will go out of their way to help someone who knows where they're going, who believes that they're going to get there, and who are determined to arrive. Now, don't push this posture concept because it can go one or two ways. In other words, it doesn't mean being arrogant or demanding. People don't like to help those who demand or appears to be too big-headed for themselves. In other words, you want to make a person feel good about their decision to help you. If they say yes, great. They're okay with that decision. If they say no, great. They're okay with that decision as well. Now, on the other hand, you also don't want to be too wimpish about your request. In other words, don't appear to be begging. So there's a fine line to have improper posture, and through practice, you will find out what's appropriate and what's not. The key is to constantly notice the results that you're getting from your request and adjust as necessary. Okay, point number 5 is ask persistently. I mean, too many people give up after 1, 2, or maybe 3 requests. In other words, they give up too soon. And then they wonder why they don't get what they've asked for. It reminds me of a story. There's this guy who passed away, and he went up to the pearly gates, and there was St. Peter to greet him. And the guy says, "Hey, what's going on up here?" And St. Peter said, "Well, what are you talking about? What do you mean?" And the guy says, "Well, look around. Look at all this stuff. I mean, there's a Mercedes-Benz 600 SL over there. I mean, there's a mansion over there. There's a Rolex watch over there. There's a Rolls-Royce Corniche over there. There's a new bedroom set over there. And look at all these sporting event tickets, you know? I mean, there's all kinds of things around here. What is going on?" And St. Peter said, "Oh, yeah, these things here, these are the things that people called and asked for, but they hung up before we were able to get their address and send it to them." The lesson there is that when you're asking, be patient, and remember, the harvest is in a different season than a planting. Too many people ask and then they give up before Mother Nature gets the opportunity to do her part. Don't let this be you. Make sure you are committed to what you want. Alexander Graham Bell once said, "What this power is, I cannot say. All I know is that it exists, and it becomes available only when a man or woman is in that state of mind in which he or she knows exactly what he or she wants and is fully determined not to quit until he or she finds it." Now, obviously, I added that "she," you know, because I didn't want you women to feel left out or anything. I'm sure that's what Alexander Graham Bell also wanted you guys to know, that he or she, doesn't matter, this works for everyone, whoever uses the power. But the point is, don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up too soon. You know, keep moving. You got to be persistent. That's the key. Well, with all that said, why don't we just take a 1-minute break, you know, just a mental break, give you time to just stretch and relax just a little bit, and then we will continue with the program. Okay, let's take a look at the 2 main barriers that stop people from asking. Number 1 is that 4-letter word that many of us have become too familiar with. It is called fear. That's right, fear. Whether or not it's fear of rejection, fear of embarrassment, fear of failure, even a fear of success. I mean, I'm sure you've listened to enough personal development tapes to have heard that fear simply means false evidence appearing real. I think I first heard this from Zig Ziglar over 10 years ago. In other words, the thing that you fear is nothing more than an imagined reality. Most likely, it doesn't have any real damaging teeth at all. This reminds me of a story I heard from the master motivator, Les Brown. There's this young boy who had a paper route, and every day he would do his paper route, and as he would get to this one house, there's a big bulldog that would start chasing him, and he would just be pedaling on his bike real fast about a half mile, and this guy would be worn out and tired, and the dog would finally stop, and the boy would have to stop and take a little rest and so forth because he was really tired after that run. Well, anyway, he did that over and over and over again. You know, the dog chasing him, he's just riding on his bike, you know, real tired and so forth when everything is over with. And then one day, you know, he was just riding his bike so fast, you know, being chased by the dog, and all of a sudden his bicycle chain broke. It snapped, and he was like, "Oh my goodness," the dog was just gaining momentum on this guy. And sure enough, he put the bike down, he noticed this big old brick nearby, he picked up the brick, he turned around, he looked at the dog, and this dog was barking, man. This dog was just going crazy, going wild. And all of a sudden, as he was getting ready to throw the brick at the dog, he noticed that the dog didn't have any teeth. So what's the point? The point is that a lot of times what you're fearing don't have any teeth at all anyway. Emerson said, "Do the thing you fear, and the death of the fear is certain." Eleanor Roosevelt said, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. The danger lies in refusing to face the fear and not daring to come to grips with it. You must make yourself succeed every time. You must do the thing you think you cannot do." Okay, let's move on to the second barrier that prevents people from asking. It's their ego. That's right, E-G-O. You see, the purpose of this tape is not to get into a long conversation of the ego, but understand that the ego can help you and it can hurt you. And many times, especially when it comes to asking, it hurts us. Most people's egos causes them to have a disease I call statusitis. For short, status. Some people have a belief that they are above and beyond other people, so they don't need to ask for anything. They forget that we're going to need the collaboration of other people to accomplish just about anything of significance in life. This status that I'm better than you creates a false pride that can hinder your growth. Don't fall for this trap. Here's something that I hope will make the point. Once upon a time, there were four people named Everybody, Somebody, Nobody, and Anybody. When there was an important job to be done, everybody was just so sure that somebody would do it. Now, anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. When nobody did it, everybody got angry because it was somebody's job. Everybody thought that somebody would do it, but didn't realize that nobody would do it. So it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done in the first place. Well, just remember that who you think is nobody really is somebody, and everybody can become anybody. Did anybody get my point? If so, everybody can call to let me know. But even if nobody calls, I want you to know that I still think you are somebody. Well, I want to make one more point as we conclude. When asking, as long as you follow the points discussed, you don't have to worry about limiting your requests. In other words, think big. I remember coming back on a trip from Paris flying on a Concorde, and I was talking with a 33-year-old friend of mine who had a net worth of over $300 million. I was 22 years old at the time, and I was mentioning a real estate deal I had just completed. I had paid $128,000 cash for a single-family property as an investment property, and I sold it 2 days later for $145,000 to another investor, making a $17,000 profit in less than 48 hours. I was proud of myself. You know, I mean, I thought this multimillionaire friend of mine would be impressed. After all, I was born and raised in a ghetto just as he was. He looked at me with a smile on his face, and he said, "Jerry, let me tell you something. It takes just as much time to make $170,000 in 2 days as it does to make $17,000. You need to learn to ask for bigger deals." I was shocked, baffled, and bewildered all at the same time. And it has taken me several years to realize the truth in what my friend had said. The lesson is not to limit your questions you ask yourself, because remember, your inner genie knows all the answers and will be more than happy to share them with you. The difference between $17,000 and $170,000 is just another zero to your genie. No problem. The point is to go ahead and stretch yourself. Of course, you want to keep it into the realm of what you feel is at least possible, but be sure it is a notch or two outside of your comfort zone. Well, I've enjoyed our time on this tape. Listen to it over and over again and take notes. Write down the key points and start to integrate them throughout the course of your day. Commit yourself to the 30-day mental fast and watch the transformation take place in your life as it unfolds to be the one that you've always imagined. Remember, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. This is Jerry Clark. I ask that your life be filled with magic, excitement, and adventure. And remember, in order to G-E-T, you have to A-S-K. Go, go, go!